Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. And that's really what we're going to be talking about relative to education. My guest today is Dr. Robert Rose, and this is a man that has a passion for teaching. And we hear things in media all the time about education, about how the United States is lagging behind. This is a man who feels that there's no excuse for that. More than that, in and of itself, there's a lot going on behind the scenes that perhaps the average individual doesn't know. His book, Abuses of Power in Education, where he feels he challenges practically everything, Dr. Robert Rose. We are going to be chatting with him. Welcome to the airwaves, Dr. Rose.
Well, thank you very much, Donna. And I noticed in your introduction you talked about empowering, and that really is my message. If you just think about empowering everybody in education to do what they are capable of doing, if given the chance not to be harassed, but encouraged to be their very best, that almost every human being will rise to levels that they never believed they were capable of because their creativity is unleashed. And that's what I have done with my students, I've done with myself and with parents. And in every class I've ever taught, it's been an education and an adventure, and it's been fun for me, although sometimes it's been very difficult when in some of the situations, especially with the fact that people in power tend to misuse or abuse their power and don't allow people to really achieve their best. And that's why somebody asked me, how do I evaluate education from 1 to 10, and I gave it a 2. And he was shocked. He said, what do you mean a 2? I said, you know, it's doing what it's been doing for centuries, which is, you know, has been passable. But I said, now we have ways of achieving such unlimited powers of everyone that I give it a 2 because we are not even coming close to what we could be achieving.
Dr. Rose, you have taught just about every grade in school.
You've been in
various districts. You yourself have definitely invested in your own education. You have been involved with learning about hypnosis, neuro-linguistic programming, meditation, brain development. You have explored so many different modalities that as an educator yourself, you felt that this was going to assist you. And from your book, Abuses of Power in Education, that and the other books, you have a couple of other books. One is The Complete Teacher. The other one is The Joys of Teaching, because this has been in your passion. And you go into this book, Abuses of the Power in Education, and I think there might be a lot of people listening to you that would feel that that's a very political statement. And in some respects, it is. But in other respects, it's as if the educational system itself has deteriorated so strongly by various protocols that very talented people who want to be good teachers find that they're shackled. Now, let's just cover a couple of things. Let's talk about you for a minute. You were considered a maverick. When did you start
really?
Teaching?
Now, that's a nice word. That they had other words for it.
Uh-huh.
So, because, like you say, somebody said, well, is it political? The things I was doing definitely were political, because I was challenging the status quo. And when you challenge the status quo, you ruffle feathers and you make enemies. So I made a lot of enemies, but I made a lot of friends too. But I definitely made a lot of enemies, and because I wouldn't follow, I wouldn't do what they told me I had to do. There was one time the whole district was supposed to change over to this reading system, and I knew the people in our district that had made these tests and everything. They took the basic readers we had, and they made these old five-question tests for each chapter and everything. And of course, there wasn't any really testing of the validity or the reliability of the test. And I looked at the tests, and I liked the people that made them up, but they were good teachers and everything. But they were just following, you know, the status quo. And I said that doesn't work. You know, it's not healthy. And so everybody in the district was supposed to do it, and I said, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. And, well, you have to do it. I said, I'm not going to do it because it's not good for kids. I said, it's a ridiculous program. You're replacing something that was bad enough, but now you're making it even worse. And I have ways of teaching reading that are effective. And so I didn't do it. So finally one of the principals said, well, what is the reason why you don't do it? And so I ran a test on the material, because it was like from 1 to 34, and I had a student teacher, and we gave all the kids, it was a fifth grade class, we gave all the kids the different levels, like Donna would have level 1 and 17 and 25, you know. And so when we corrected it, you know, you should see a linear graph, right? Because as it got harder, you know, people would miss more problems or questions. And so we did that, and then we found there was absolutely no correlation. And so then I told my student teacher, well, now let's go back and take some of these tests and look at the questions that the kids, you know, like a kid that was supposedly reading at a third grade level, and he would pass something that was on like maybe even a sixth grade level. And I said, look for and ask the kid if this is what he's interested in. I said, because I think one of the keys in reading is we have to find what interests the child. You've got to get his interest first. You can't just force him to read. So he did that, and he said, yeah, this seems to be what it is. So I went back to the school board, and I said, look, this is why I'm, you know, the only teacher in the district that's not doing it, and this is why I'm not doing it. Well, to the credit of the school board, we had a really good superintendent then. He said, okay, we're going to make you in charge of it, which was very unusual for them to do something like that for me. And he said, you're going to be the chairman of this, and you're going to investigate this. So they sent out a notice to everybody in the district, you know, that I was still Mr. Rose then, that Mr. Rose is going to be in charge of evaluating this program. And if you need to call him or come visit his school. Well, I had two calls from the whole district, and both of them refused to tell me what their name was, but they complained about it. Then I had one guy came out from a school, and he told me our whole staff is 100% behind you, but you can't tell us you can't tell them that we said this. I said, what do you mean? Well, we don't want to be harassed by the principal, but knowing that we, you know, disagreed with you. So I went back to the school board and I said, I'm sorry. You know, this is what happened. I said, I think that what's happening is people are terrified of going against, you know, what is. Well, in an unusual situation, they did end the program at the end of the year. And I think it was because one teacher had the guts to stand up for what was right and actually prove it. And I had proof that even though that the teachers didn't back me physically, you know, by coming forth, the superintendent and his staff recognized that this thing was not a valid way of teaching reading. And they ended the program.
This brings up something that I think I have heard, and in fact, I don't think, I know, I've heard from many people in the educational program. And there is a wonderful woman, an African-American woman, Marva Collins, who had been a teacher in the public system for 14 years. This woman was exceptional. She just got wonderful results from students that supposedly were stupid. She was given some of the toughest. And she came out of this, and she said, I have to leave. She left the system after 14 years and started schools of her own. And the interesting story about Marva is, and she's just an incredible woman, her school, she had very high standards for her teachers. She said, if a child fails, it's your fault. You are the teacher. You're the one that is supposed to educate them, and you need to understand that that education is going to be on multiple levels. And she opened her schools in the poorest districts of her community. And her students, when they were in the third grade, excelled. They went beyond anything that the students in the public schools could do. And she said, we do not have dumb students here. We have students that can learn differently, perhaps, from the norm, but we are here to teach them so that they can become responsible human beings and contribute to the well-being of the society that they are a part of. And one of the things, I just saw a correlation between the two of you. She's just a wonderful woman, and I do not know her age now. She might be in her 80s. But her school, she would go on speaking tours. That's how she supported her school. And President Reagan went to her, wanted her to handle the Department of Education. She said, no, I'm not going to do that. She was asked by President Bush to do it. That is how good her results were. And colleges around the world wanted her students. But it was the standard. And the two of you have a very common patterning, and that's why I was so fascinated with your book. One of the things that you bring out in your book, in high school, teachers seldom offer, and I'm quoting directly from your book, seldom offer students an opportunity to learn how to use freedom. The message of control is strong, and you find that this is ridiculous. They were totally controlled until graduation, and you say then they're thrust into adulthood without any experience and actual responsibility for their actions. And you said following the rules and dictates of the schools and being responsible for their work did not and does not prepare them for the real world. And education is supposed to do that, and we are falling short. Our country has been given a rating of 36 to 55 or 56 in the world, and this is appalling. The educational systems are getting volumes of money, and the teachers I've spoken with feel like they're shackled. You hear all kinds of complaints, and nobody seems to hear them. What do you think the teachers can do, and what do you think parents can do? Let's take it from a couple of sides, because you have parents, you have the teachers, you have the educational process system. So what is your suggestion? Let's take them one at a time.
Let's take teachers first, then. One of my favorite people is Dr. Ken Haberman. And he wrote a book called Star Teachers, and he's the guy that did the teacher, where he got help to get hire 100,000 teachers, and he trained them, you know, and his people trained them to go into schools throughout the country. And he found out that they picked the most intelligent people, you know, that came out of the schools, of all the schools in the country. And so these very intelligent people went, and after 1 year, 75% of them had quit. And so he started trying to understand why 75% of them quit. And it's because these 75% were very intelligent, but they lacked one thing that both Ken and I agreed on, that when I look at a teacher, I don't look just at their intelligence. I imagine they're intelligent because they couldn't have gotten through school without having at least normal intelligence. What I looked for was heart. And when I would interview a teacher, I would be looking for that and listening to it and trying to see how this teacher felt about children. And when I, as a supervising teacher, and I went around, I would see how she or he responded to their kids. And what I found is that the teachers that had heart are the ones that developed a relationship with children, a relationship. And I can't emphasize that enough. And I have not been able to get this through to teachers because they are not really taught to develop relationship. They're taught to develop techniques to teach content. And I tell them that content is fine, but you need to have a relationship. Once you have a relationship, the content will flow because the kids will be willing to work with you with whatever content you want. I would tell them sometimes, now what we're going to do today in this particular lesson, I said, it's in our book and everything, and I said, I'm kind of obligated to teach some things. And I said, it really isn't going to impact your life, but let's just get through this and do the best you can. Then we'll go on to art, music, or whatever else thing we're going to be doing next. And so they go, they cooperate with me. So there was negotiation. I developed a relationship with them so I could negotiate with them. And that's what I'm saying about empowering. They felt empowered. I trusted them enough, and they would come through. Now, not everybody did, but most of the kids would come through. And that's why, despite the fact that I didn't spend as much time on reading, writing, and math, my scores in those areas were as good or better than the other teachers all through my career. But I also didn't neglect the child. I was more interested in the child than in the content. And that's what got me into trouble a lot of times, because they say, well, you're not spending enough time in the content. And I say, well, if you can prove that my test results are good, so what can you do? What do you want me to do differently, you know? Of course, they had no idea. So because my test results were good, they couldn't pin me down and say, you have to do, you know, you have to spend more time on vocabulary or blah, 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 you know. But when you have a relationship with children, and I had a union representative on my show, and I told her about how the relationship, and she says, well, you cannot have, you know, if you're a high school teacher, you can't have a relationship with 150 kids. I said, the reason you can't have the relationship is because you're so much content-oriented that you can't get away from it. Your mindset is closed. I said, open your mindset to the fact that the children will learn better when they like you and when they have a relationship with you, when they can talk about things with you, instead of standing up in front of the class and talking for 55 minutes and then sending them out. I said, you have to give them a chance to talk. You have to give them a chance to interact. And I said, that will change the whole way that it works. And she said, it won't work. I said, I've done it. She said, well, I don't believe it.
Mm-hmm,
well,
mm-hmm.
Okay. But right, it does work, and I know high school teachers that have done it. So it is a possibility, but we don't do it.
Dr. Rose,
yeah,
let's talk about the parent side. Because you were really strongly supportive of getting to know parents. And I know that was something that Marva did. She found out a lot of the reasons behind much of her students' behavior. In fact, you have a story in your book about a boy who was 15 years old. His name was Thomas. And you, like everybody else, made assumptions about this young man until you found out from one of the students that he had a very ugly situation at home going on. Tell us about how you dealt with Thomas, and also give us the perspective of working with parents, because I know many parents, they're so anxious, they get so frustrated, they want their kids to do good. And I know there's a lot that don't. So let's address that aspect.
Okay, well, I have to admit something. You know, like I say, I'm 80 years old, and I've written so many books, and I don't remember who I referred to as Thomas, and I don't remember that incident. But I can tell you what I've done with parents. When I had the at-risk program, where we took the worst, supposedly the worst kids in our community, and we have a large community. It's one of the largest districts in Southern California. And I had kids from fifth grade to ninth grade level. And one of the things that I changed about the program is I would have an hour interview with each parent and their student and their child. And when these people came in, because they would be referred to me by principals or teachers and everything, and I had to go back a little bit. When they would call me, I would ask the principal or the teacher, well, have you talked to the child, as you say about Thomas, I had talked to him. And they would say, oh, yeah. And I said, well, what did you learn about him? Well, what do you mean, what did I learn about him? Well, I said, what do you know about him? Well, he did this wrong. I said, no, I don't want to know what he did wrong. I want to know what you know about the child. And then there would be this dead silence. And I'd say, well, it's okay. You just send them to me, and then if I think that I can work with them, I'll accept them. And then we'd have the parent conference. And the parent would come in, and some of them, Donna, they would be looking at me. They'd be just fuming because their kid had been sent to this program, for bad kids. So that was a reputation. And they would be just really angry. And they'd sit down, and I'd smile at them and, try to shake their hand. Some wouldn't even do that. And I'd look at the kid, and I'd say, tell me your story. Tell me your side of what has happened. Why did they send you here? I'm going to listen to you. And I had we had a staff about 8 people, 3 teachers, 3 aides, and a couple, a clerk and a secretary. And everybody sat in there and listened. I did the interviewing because I wanted them all to hear what these kids had to say because they were going to be dealing with them, and they had to know what was the cause of his problem. And the kid would look at me at first like, yeah, I'm sure you're going to listen to me. And I'd tell him, I will listen to you. I know a lot about the teachers. I know some teachers do bad things to kids. And I said, I want to know if you're one of them that has been, abused. That's where the abuses of power. And they would start to talk. And like I said, I knew a lot of the teachers, and I know some of the things they were doing wrong. And the kid would start to talk. And some of these kids were bigger than I was. And they would start to cry, And the parents would start to cry because what had happened to them was so unfair. And I told them, I said, okay, I believe you. I believe what you're saying. And I believe you have been mistreated. Here you're going to always find that you're going to be listened to. You are going to receive justice here. I know you haven't received it all through your career, but here you're going to receive justice. We have, if I don't give it to you, we have a student court, in the class here. You can go to student court, and they will overrule anything that I've said or decided to do. And you also, even though we've already prepared the rules for the class, you have input into the rules. If you think the rules that you're under in the class and you want to change them, you have the right to discuss it with the whole class. And if they agree with you, we'll change the rules. Empowering. The child was empowered. And the parent was empowered because I listened to the parent and tried to get to know the kid from the parent's side. When the parent realized that we really are going to listen to them, they changed their behavior. You would see their eyes soften. Their body language would change. Their whole body would relax. They started to smile. They would laugh. They would talk to me. And by the end of the hour, they were willing to do anything possible to work with me and the staff to help their child, and the same thing with their child. And they finally got the reputation of, if Dr. Rose can't cure them, nobody can. Now, that was really hyper. That was that wasn't true, but it was nice to hear. But it was true that we did make great changes in most of the kids.
Mm-hmm. And that, I know Marva and some other people that I've known as teachers who were dedicated to being teachers, they often would put in a lot of their own personal time. And there are so many stories that could be shared, but I want to go back to the story about Thomas, the young boy, and I know you've written a number of books. Thomas was a 15-year-old boy that in your class, he came in, his appearance, you wondered if he was on drugs, and he'd fall asleep in class all the time. And
you
just didn't know what to do. And then one day, one of the students came up because falling asleep in class and sleeping through everything wasn't such a good deal. But his home life was so bad. And one of the students told you he can't sleep at home because his mom and his dad, this is what's going on, and he gave you some details. And you said, okay. So you made an arrangement with him where he could be off in a corner where he could sleep, because the only way he was getting any sleep was when he was in school. He couldn't do it otherwise. And you made arrangements for him, and he ended up becoming an exceptional student. So many times there are circumstances that you're not aware of, and then if the kids trust you, they'll tell you, and then you're able to do something about it. And that is something that Marva Collins found as the administrator of her school system. She often found she had to educate the parents just as much as the children needed education, because she was dealing with the poorest communities. That's where she put her schools. And she said it was an amazing level of awareness. And by golly, those kids would do anything for her. And the standards of excellence were high, and they weren't beaten over the head with it. It was just that expectation, mentally, physically, emotionally, and even spiritually. And by golly, those students rose to the levels of expectation, which is one of the things that's in your book. You have so much information. I know we couldn't possibly cover it, but I would say to anyone in my audience, abuses of power in education, challenging practically everything. If you are a parent, if you know of someone who is a parent, if you know of someone who wants to be a teacher, if you yourself want to be more effective in teaching, this book gives an insight into what we need to be aware of. And education is just not about indoctrination and control. It is about stimulating creativity, bringing the minds of children to an understanding that they have responsibilities and that they can be a contributing citizen in life. His other books are called The Joys of Teaching and then The Complete Teacher. And I can tell you from having gone through his material, it's well worth reading. And his information matches so much of what I have seen among those teachers that have the love of kids, the love of passing on the best that they possibly can, and who are always opening to growth and development. Now, Dr. Rose, you have a website, imaginativecurriculum.com, imaginativecurriculum.com. You also have a blog. Give us the information on your blog, because you interview people and talk about many different things. What is your blog?
Well, it's Blog Talk Radio. It's www.blogtalkradio.com, then /ICDrRose. And if you're interested in education or practically anything, you go to the archives and you will learn a tremendous amount. Because just like Donna said, she and I are both eclectic, and we interview the most interesting people in the world, and we just have fun like we're having today, but it's also very educational. And I think you'll find all kinds of answers to things. Like just the other day, I had a lady that was writing about plus-size women. And she just was a marvelous person. So I want to put a plug in for The Complete Teacher, because that's been selling pretty good lately since I've been going around a lot of radio shows.
Well,
you can
take
The Complete Teacher, and it's not just a book; it's a workbook too, because it has questions. And if you buy the book and you have a question, you can write to me at rewiringyourbrain.com if you have questions, and I'll be glad to answer them. But that book, it tells you what you can do and how you can do it, but also why you should do it.
Mm-hmm.
You should, and the why, I think, is the most important thing. Because
Absolutely.
A lot of times people say do this and that. But when you read my book, you'll understand why you should be doing it.
Absolutely. All of his books, please check out his website, imaginativecurriculum.com. Check out his blog. It is absolutely wonderful, and you will be able to pass along some well-earned wisdom that's been practically applied. And if you know of anyone in homeschooling, anyone that does homeschooling, this is a wonderful gift to give them, because that will enhance their capability as a teacher with children in a marvelous way. Dr. Rose, I want to thank you for being my guest. We're going to be taking a break. This is Donna Sebo. Check out Abuses of Power in Education, Joys of Teaching, The Complete Teacher, and much more at www.imaginativecurriculum.com. We're going to be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number to call in is 888-627-6008. We have a caller on the line. Let's go to that caller. Welcome to the show, first name or initial. And where are you calling in from?
Sure, this is Leslie, and I'm calling from San Diego.
Okay, hon, I'm sorry. Your voice was garbled when you first gave your name or your initial. Could you repeat it, please?
Leslie.
Leslie, all right. Thank you, Leslie. You're on a cell phone, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Okay, because it does garble like that every once in a while. All right, Leslie, the first thing that I'm looking at with you is change. I think you're going to find yourself coming to a decision that you are going to shift a direction. What I'm looking at in my mind is a visual of your being in a boat. And you're saying, all right, I have some options in front of me, and I have been heading towards a particular direction, but I'm sort of sitting quiet right now, and I'm wanting to determine what I should do next. And I'm looking at you with a rudder of the boat in your hand, and you're changing course. That's how I will define it. You're changing course. You are not going to just do things on a whim. You're saying, I'm going to explore a different option. And in that exploration, believe it or not, you're going to reach the point that you originally set your eye on. And it's like I'm seeing you at, let's say, point A in the boat, and you angle off to the left, you go to a particular area that you're unfamiliar with, and then you find that you're directed into an avenue of activity and action and association that gets you to where you originally wanted to be. And I think one of the lessons that's going to come out of this is life is not a straight line. And so many times, to reach what we really want to reach, we might have to do a lot of detours. It's like going from Los Angeles to New York. You've got a gazillion different ways you could do it. And for some reason, if you try to take the straight line, you have all of these roadblocks. So you're going to get to your aspired desire in an unusual way. That's how I will put it. Also, I do think there's something with your teeth that needs to be checked, and I'm not quite sure what this is, and I think someone's going to make a recommendation, and I would encourage you to be aware that you need to get a second opinion so that you understand what your options are relative to whatever needs to be done. And you need to know when you finally decide on having something done with the teeth, there will be a payment plan that you can work with so that it's comfortable for you financially. You can work with it. What it is, I don't know. I'm just getting that information. Do you have a question for me?
Yeah, my teeth are moving. They have been for the last 2 years, so they're crooked now, and I can't afford anything about them right now, but I am, like, waiting to see what I can do. But, yeah, there is something going on with my teeth.
We'll get more than one opinion.
Okay. Good to know. But, yeah, I am looking for work right now. And I do feel like I'm having to just drop everything that I know and just go get a job. And even though I've been submitting applications, nothing seems to be happening. And I'm hitting a point where it's like, I don't know what else to do.
Well, I think you have a number of different talents. And what I was getting is you're going to reach your goal, but you're going to go through some irregular patterns that, you know, you in a million years would never have designed it the way that it's going to express itself. So you do need to start somewhere, because I am looking at these roadblocks. If you tried to go from point A to point Z in a straight line, it's just not happening.
Exactly.
So
that
is something, don't hesitate to do this. Don't hesitate to do something that you can generate an income with, because you will inadvertently... There is a woman, let me give this example. There is a young woman that I know who had worked in theater for a long time. She's up here in the state of Washington, and she had worked in a number of little theater environments. And Jenny was just an incredibly responsible person. Well, there was a change in management, and she lost her positioning at this one level that she was in, and she did all kinds of stuff. She worked for major department stores, and she worked for all kinds of people. She was wonderful with people, just absolutely terrific. Wherever she went, people really liked her. And out of the blue, it was about 5 years after she had been removed from a position that she had really enjoyed in the theater. And when she was talking with someone, it was at a social event, this stranger that she didn't know anything about happened to hear her name, and he said, well, you know, I've heard your name. What did you do? And she was in a group of people involved with the theater. And she said, well, this is what I did. He said, I knew your name sounded familiar. As it turned out, he had been a performer, but he had left performing, and he had gone to work for one of the primary organizations for the arts in the Pacific Northwest. And as it turned out, one of his staff had become ill, and by golly, talked to her. He said, how would you like to come to work for me? This is out of the blue. She's now working in the very environment that she has a passion for, but she had to do something that that was going to provide an income. But she never lost touch with the environment that she really had loved, and now she's working full-time, and they're thrilled. They're absolutely thrilled. So sometimes things, you know, they have a direction that they go in that, again, in a million years, you would never choreograph it that way. That is not what you would do. But life does that sometimes. So work with your strengths, put them into an arena, but don't lose touch with what means the most to you. Am I making sense?
Yes, it is. Right now, I might have to, I've been putting in an application that, clothing stores, even though I've never done that before, but I just need a job.
Well, and that's fine. But I want you to change your attitude. I want you to say, I need to have employment where I can give the best of my talents, regardless of what that industry may be. Because if you go into an interview, I just need a job. Please hire me. No, that's not going to work.
No.
What you want to do is show your strengths, your best points, and when you get that job, give your best. Don't be in a pity pot and just say, I'm grateful. The universe has given me an opportunity. I'll demonstrate my talents here, give my best, and I won't give up on my dream.
Yeah.
And things will work out for you. But maybe there's something that you need to learn, and adaptability may be one of those things, too. We never know. Doesn't mean we have to like it, but sometimes life gives us castor oil when we'd much rather have sugar water.
Yeah.
You're going to do okay, my dear. You're going to do just fine. And thank you for the call.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome. Have you ever wanted to be in an environment of people with unique psychic abilities? There's a special event taking place on September 15th. That's tomorrow at 6 p.m. at the Roosevelt Hotel in Seattle, Washington, that's going to give you that opportunity. Dr. Pat Basile will be the guest speaker for the healing program. Michael Shane and Monty Burgess will be demonstrating their individual talents in mediumship. There will be a silent and live auction. Questions will be answered for you that you're going to be able to ask. There's going to be wine tasting and much more for you to enjoy. It's a fundraising event for the healing and educational programs of the Ascension Foundation. Awaken to love and experience the gifts from spirit. Cost per person, $75 to pre-register. Or for more details, call 800-508-6437. You can email info@michaelshane.com. It's a one-of-a-kind event. You won't want to miss it. Call now, 800-508-6437. This is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are open, 888-627-6008. And we have got a marvelous lineup of people coming up next week. I want to let you know about them. There's so many marvelously talented people. We're going to be talking about how you don't need, well, let's see, to be concerned about getting a partner in your life. That's right. Marriage made in heaven. We're going to be talking with a couple that has some wonderful information on that. And then AD, Dark Skies, After Disclosure, Bruce Labelle. We're going to be talking about government attitudes and what happens when we find out the truth after confidential documents are revealed. And do you have back problems? We're going to be talking with Dr. Debs. He's put out a wonderful book on This Is Why Your Back Hurts. That's right. There are reasons for back problems and core strategy for success. Fred Mansky. This is a powerful book. And Lindsay Frucci. The Pig and Me, a memoir. This woman's story is incredible. She'll be on with me in a week. So we've just got a dynamic lineup. You can always check show information at BBS Radio. And you also can check on my website, regarding the people that are coming up on the show. Check out DelphiInternational.com. We're taking a break for just a moment. We're going to be back. I'll share your fall horoscope for this year and a little bit more. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now. Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Have you ever wanted to be in an environment of people with unique psychic abilities? This special event is taking place tomorrow, September 15th at 6 p.m. at the Roosevelt Hotel in Seattle, Washington. It's going to give you that opportunity. Dr. Pat Basile will be the guest speaker for this healing program. Michael Shane and Monty Burgess will be demonstrating their individual talents and mediumship and will be answering your questions. Silent and live auction, wine tasting, and a lot more for you to enjoy. This fundraising event is for the healing and educational programs of the Ascension Foundation. Awaken to love and experience the gifts from spirit. Cost per person, $75. Call 800-508-6437. That's 800-508-6437. This is an event you won't want to miss. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. In 1 minute. What can be done in 1 minute? Well, here are some items to think about. It takes 18 seconds for nicotine to reach the brain, 24 seconds to deal a deck of cards, 30 seconds for killer whales to mate, 30 seconds before staring at the sun damages your eye, 42 seconds for the average cow to recover between burps, 1 minute for a stickleback trout to court mate and lay eggs. 1 minute for vegetables to be commercially flash frozen. And 1 minute for iodine to kill bacteria. A little bit of trivia for you there. Okay, let's get your fall horoscope. Yesterday we chatted about Aries and Libra. Let's go for Taurus and Scorpio. For those born under the sign of Taurus, well, you know what? Family is going to be extremely important to you. A lot of conversation, and there are plans that are going to be made with family and openness with family about economics, what we should really give our attention to, what priorities are. That's going to be quite significant for those of you under the sign of Taurus. Now, when it comes to money, I really think you're going to want to look at how you want to compound the value of your dollar. And this is the time, again, to plan. This is the time to really work things through. And You need to realize that the decisions that you're making at this time will have an impact on the results in the year 2013. Doesn't seem like you're going to be doing a heck of a lot of traveling, but I think if you do want to make that part of your agenda, having the plans in place first will be proved to be very, very beneficial. Those under the sign of Scorpio, yes, you are going to find that you really have to keep things in balance when it comes to family and friends and not let your emotions lead you around by the proverbial nose. You must not allow your emotional side to gain ground. You must keep yourself level. Now, you are going to find that you are going to be able to do well financially, and you will, if you are wise, work with your money so that it is going to be saved. And then, if you're really wanting to get into investments, study. Use the game of Monopoly, whatever it is that you want to do, so you gain some financial savvy before you put those dollars to work. So think, plan, organize, and then do. Also, you're so creative. It's important for you that you always have something you can be involved with, whether it's gardening, whether it's painting, calligraphy, it doesn't make any difference. Something that allows your creative juices to flow because it means a lot to you. You're going to have a chance to perhaps visit some friends and relatives in the latter part of fall, but it's going to be up to you. If you feel like you should be conservative with your dollars, well, use email, call them by phone, let them know that they're loved, but keep those dollars in your pocket because you're going to find expenditures for those under the sign of Scorpio are going to be a little bit higher in 2013 than you expected. And last but not least for today, Gemini, and I want to say appreciating the small things in life are going to be the the affirmation of the day. You need to really take time to appreciate what you have in front of you, what's around you, and be grateful. That is something that's very important for those born under the sign of Gemini. Don't whine. Don't cry about what you don't have. Look at your blessings. Count them. Appreciate them. And instead of talking about what you don't have, look towards what it is that you really want in your life. And I'm not just talking about things that you can buy. I'm talking about values, quality of life. That's very important. You are going to find financial situations could be a little tight for you. And this is where you need to not get discouraged. You need to understand that this is a phase that is going to pass. So you want to work with what you've got. Don't feel like you're in for a battle. It isn't necessary to take that attitude. And also, when it comes to travel, you don't have to spend a whole bunch of money. Do the things that you really enjoy. If you have a hobby and there's a show you want to go to, a trade show, something like that, maybe you love to build trains, whatever this is, put yourself in those environments that you really enjoy. Don't try to be what you're not. And you, being a Gemini, you've got a lot of interests, so just remember it's a good thing to have various interests, but why not focus on the top two or three and then cultivate relationships with people. That's going to come in very handy in future years. Well, my goodness, we're just about out of time. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always that you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It's so important for us in these days where we feel like there's so much being thrown at us, whether it's through the internet or through media, or just through our own life experiences. We just get so weary and we wonder why, or what if I'd done this, or what if I'd done that. Take a deep breath and count to 10 and realize that you are where you are for the moment. It's not permanent. It's just what it is for the moment. Give it your best and know that even better things are going to be evolving. And life is a living experience. You're participating in it. And so, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good, but it's what you do with it that counts. This is Donna. Have a magnificent weekend wherever you are. God bless. Be back here on Monday with you. Same time, same place. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.